Well, good evening, everyone. This is Cheryl Lee Davis, and this is the first day of prayer call for May 2017, if you can believe that. And we're going to have a great evening of prayer again this evening, and I'm very happy to introduce Janice Price to you. She's going to be sharing our devotional, and Janice has been with the ministry for quite some time now. She serves on our National Board of Directors, as well as a regional speaker trainer, helping women know how to communicate the gospel of Jesus and their personal story. And she's also a woman who loves our Bible studies, so we love that. And I am very happy to turn it over to you, Janice, now.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. I am mindful that this is the first Monday in May, so for Stonecross Ministries, today is our monthly day of prayer. I'm also mindful that this coming Thursday is the National Day of Prayer, when many Christians from across our country will once again pause to recognize our full dependence on our Heavenly Father for protection and for all that we need. With this in mind, I would like for us to focus on the importance of exercising full, complete obedience to whatever it is that our Lord asks us to do. If there is a key word to this devotion today, it would be the word obedience. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is living and active, period. As a former English teacher, I think it's helpful to even pay attention to punctuation marks in Scripture. The writer of Hebrews goes on to write that, sharper than any double-edged sword, God's Word penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So you mean that my heart has an attitude? Yes, it does. Solomon wrote in Proverbs that above all else, guard your heart. That tells me that I need to guard the attitude of my heart, because according to God's living word, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So with this in mind, I would like to point out that there are multiple ways to study God's living word. One way is to study with a big picture perspective in mind. For example, comparing what happened in the Old Testament period with the New Testament. A specific example of this would be the story of the Tower of Babel found in Genesis, when the language of the people was confused by God, contrasted to the account of what happened at Pentecost as recorded in Acts, when people were able to speak in languages that they had not already learned. So you see the big contrast there, and that's a big picture perspective of studying God's Word. Of course, another way to study God's living word is to look at details. For those of us who have been followers of Jesus for many years, I think there is a tendency to skip over some words, some phrases, even punctuation marks, because they're familiar, perhaps even too familiar, for us to slow down and to really learn whatever it is that God wants us to know. So today, we are not going to look at a big picture concept, but rather we're going to look at a detail from a familiar story in the Gospel of John. And as we do so, I would like to challenge us not to skip over one detail in particular. That detail has to do with obedience and the extent of that obedience. I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. This is the account of Jesus' first recorded miracle of turning water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside, and he said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. I would like to focus on one detail in particular, and that is the short phrase, "to the brim." In doing that, I would like to make two practical applications for us today. First of all, sometimes we are asked to do what makes no sense. It made no sense to fill the water jars to the brim with water. The wedding party was not out of water. They were out of wine. But Mary had told the servants to do whatever he tells you. So that's what they did. This is certainly true of us today. Sometimes we are prompted by God's Holy Spirit to do something that seemingly makes no sense at the time. However, sometimes when we look back on a situation, we can see that what made no sense then was clearly the best thing to have done. So sometimes we are asked to do what makes no sense. Secondly, sometimes we're asked to do what is difficult. Filling the water jars was no easy task. To perhaps give you a better idea of the size of these water jars, let me just relate the fact that a garage trash can is about the same size as the purification jars the servants were handling in this story. So as we do the math, we can easily see that six stone water jars times 20 gallons is 120 gallons, or six stone water jars times 30 gallons would be 180 gallons. Now, this is the important part. The key insight was the apparent redundancy in the Greek text of the expression, "they filled them to the brim." The verb gemizio already means to fill to capacity or to fill full. Then the phrase right after it means to the brim. So the more redundant wording seems intentional, with the point that this was no partial obedience. The fact that Mary had already said, "Whatever he says, do," emphasizes the importance of obedience here. So perhaps the question of full or partial obedience on my part and on your part is the real challenge from this portion of God's living word. Sometimes we are asked to do what makes no sense. And sometimes we are asked to do what is very difficult. This is a challenging word picture for us in 2017. In preparation for our prayer time together, I would like to ask you some questions. Are we going to do what the Holy Spirit prompts us to do as a worldwide ministry? Are we going to be fully obedient to do what our Heavenly Father asks us to do as individuals? Are we going to be fully obedient, to the brim obedient, even when it doesn't seem to make sense? Are we going to be fully obedient, even when the task is heavy and time-consuming and very difficult? Is my heart's attitude such that I am willing to be fully obedient to whatever it is that the Lord is calling me to do in service to Him through Stonecroft Ministries. What are the big things that we need to ask for God to provide or for God to do that only He could provide or do in order to increase our spiritual effectiveness? And then one final question. With no partial obedience, what is it that our Father wants us to do so that Stonecroft can be used as a tool to bring others to Jesus? As I turn this prayer call back over to Cheryl, let me encourage you to pray that God will fill Stonecroft to the brim with direction for our future. Let me encourage you to pray that God will fill Stonecroft to the brim with financial resources for evangelism. And then finally, let me encourage you to pray that God would fill Stonecroft to the brim with love for those who do not yet know Jesus. Whatever it is that's on your heart this evening or this afternoon for some of you, may we all experience a renewed commitment to live our lives to the brim in full obedience to Jesus. Cheryl?
Let's pray. Father, as we begin our time of prayer, we want to start by just quieting our hearts and reflecting on this phrase that Janice used about fully obeying you and resisting partial obedience. And so why don't we just take a minute, each of us, just quietly and confess quietly to yourself, and then we'll come back together. Anything that you want to make right between you and God. Father, we believe that your word is true, and that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And so we trust you with this quiet time of prayer as we've begun. I think it would be good for us to pray about the tasks that God has given us to do or asked us to do. And this could be tasks through Stonecroft or even things just in your own personal life. And if you don't mind praying about them, we will join you in praying. And remember, you do need to push star 2 to unmute yourself so that we can hear you pray. But let's just pray about those tasks that Janice mentioned earlier.
I would like to pray for just reaching out with our Stonecroft Bible studies in many new neighborhoods in our small community. Just that we would find new hostesses and new guides and new ways to draw women into God's Word. Father God, I pray for the task of speaking at outreach meetings, that you would make the speakers effective and so clear for your honor and glory. And I love the way you say in Hebrews, Lord, that we can hold firmly to what we believe because Jesus is the Son of God. And there's a period at the end of that sentence. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that punctuation, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Father, I am so grateful how you opened doors of opportunity in ways we never could have dreamed. And I am so grateful for these dear women on the call and all of our tasks that we do. There's a myriad of tasks, and one of them I would like us to especially pray for is the editing of our Stonecroft Bible studies for the radio. Father, we thank you for those editors who stepped up to the plate with me. And you know it takes 4 times as much time as recording and correcting. So we ask, O God, that you would encourage every editor in this task of getting this year's supply of Stonecroft Bible studies for the over the air, especially for those women who are in small villages and who do not have the opportunity to be with other people. Thank you for opening doors of opportunity for that. You constantly do that. I think of that in 2 Corinthians 9:8. You are able to make all grace abound for every task that we have. You make everything sufficient. So, Father, with joyful obedience, we love serving you. You make things abundant. And whatever we have to do in things that don't seem quite in our comfort zone, we're grateful because you will do a good work that you have planned before foundations of the world that we'd walk in them. I'm so grateful for Janice's encouragement in this on just this picture that she gave to us. And thank you, Father, that even though that doesn't make sense, may be difficult, very heavy, Father, we rise to the occasion as an audience tonight because you do supply our every need. Thank you for that. Thank you for enriching us with so much liberty. We praise you tonight.
So let's move on to now praying for some of the areas Janice mentioned in her devotion, and we'll focus on Stonecrofts. And I like, Janice, the way you put that, that we would ask God to fill us to the brim with wisdom and direction for the ministry, that you would fill us to the brim with financial obligations and needs there, and that you would fill us to the brim with people that we can reach with the gospel, women specifically. Yes. And I can think of some other fill us to the brim with,
yes,
you know, chairs, new chairs, or fill us to the brim with, you know, that can be whatever, however God leads you. And so let's operate in faith and believe that God wants to take care of Stonecroft, and so he cares about these things that we care about. Yes. And so let's pray now for Stonecroft, and include in your prayer that you would like the Lord to fill us to the brim.
Dear Lord, I pray that you will look upon the things that we do, especially with our clubs, some of them being so discouraged, and Lord, help them to just see that mission and do fill them to the brim for passion to invite others. That it just is not just a club of the same people coming, but that they are intent on bringing others to you. We know that the evil one does not want this to happen. Lots of times puts things in our way. We just pray that you will help us and that you will get those things out of the way, that we can just focus on the goal that's set before us.
Father God, I love this story of turning the water into wine, your very first miracle done on earth. And to think of how Mary was probably looking at Jesus, giving him that look that mothers give their children when they want them to do something without directing him, but directing the servants. And to think, Lord, that this was an everyday event, a wedding, and you are so involved in our everyday lives if we let you. Father God, we know you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I pray that you would fill Stonecroft to the brim, overflowing with the financial resources to do what needs to be done, not for Stonecroft's glory, but for your glory and honor. We love you, Lord.
Yes. Father, I pray that you would fill Stonecroft with joy and enthusiasm for inviting others to Stonecroft Bible studies. Father, we just pray that there would be a renewed sense of vision for the power that is in your word, and that many women would have a vision for reaching out to inviting others to Stonecroft Bible studies, and that they would do it with joy and with enthusiasm.
Father, I pray you would fill Stonecroft with the joy of prayer and increasing prayer and dependence on you. And I pray this for our staff and our volunteers alike, that there would be this renewed increase in finding time with you and taking things to you.
Mm-hmm. Father God, I'd like to pray for the wisdom request that Cheryl made a few moments ago, and listening to Janice's story about Mary instructing the disciples to do whatever he tells you. It just came to my mind that Mary was acting not only in faith, but she was acting with wisdom. She knew her son so well that even though he said, "Why are you involving me? My hour has not come," yet she acted in faithfulness and in wisdom that her son was going to take care of the problem. And so that's one of my prayer requests right now, is that Stonecroft and all the staff would act with that kind of faithfulness and wisdom. God tells us in James 1:5 that if we lack wisdom, we just need to call unto him, and he will give it graciously and generously to us without rebuke, without finding fault with us. And so, dear Lord, this is my prayer request for Stonecroft.
And now let's move on to pray for our country. And Janice reminded us that this week is also the National Day of Prayer. And I think for all of our leaders, local leaders, first responders, congressmen, Supreme Court, president, all of our leaders, let's just take a few minutes. And I do like it when the Lord prompts us to pray scripture. So if you do want to do that, that's perfectly wonderful. I think it's a really beautiful way to talk to the Lord, is to use his truth. And so if you want to do that, you can do that.
Lord, I love Psalm 17. The Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. And Lord, I pray that you would hold our president, our vice president, our congressmen, and our senators by the hand. Guide them and direct them in ways that they will marvel at and give you the honor and the glory.
Mm-hmm. Father, I pray for the new congressmen and women and new senators and legislators, both men and women, as they come into their role, that they would find you faithful from the very beginning, that they would call out to you for wisdom and guidance, and that they would, it would be a familiar conversation that they're having with you. And Father, I pray that you would answer their prayers, you say in your word, call unto me, and I will show you great and marvelous things you do not know. And I pray that our leadership would find that they can find the answers from you. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you so much as we look across the landscape of the world and all the tensions and everything going on, that you are in control and that you are in control of those who are in control. And let us never lose sight of that, that you know the beginning and the end, and nothing surprises you. And so help us as we pray for our president and our land and our law enforcement people, our armed forces, that we know you have them all in your hand, and we just pray that you will direct their steps.
Father, we are your people, and we are humbling ourselves before you and seeking your face, Lord, and we are praying for revival across our land. Father, we lift up each person who is in a governmental position, knowing, Lord, that you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords over each one of those people. And so we pray, Father, that you would work in their minds, that you would soften hearts, such that revival would take place across our land. And Father, as we pray for revival, I would pray for the National Day of Prayer, not just that Stonecroft Ministries and volunteers would be active in prayer this Thursday, but all the churches across the land will set up prayer meetings, prayer times for their people to come together and sit and be together and to get familiar with prayer, to get familiar with communing together and praying together as a community. And that would be a mighty start to the revival. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Father, your name is so strong and mighty, and even your word is like a shield to those who take refuge in you. And Father, we ask that your word would be mighty and powerful in every government position, and that they would see that you have a hand on their lives. You definitely are a rock to us, and we ask that you would be that kind of a rock, that strength to them to make the right decisions. Thank you, Father, for girding them in strength. Everyone who is from the president, vice president, cabinet members, congressional leaders, Supreme Court justices, governors, executive leaders, legislative leaders, judicial leaders, Father, in all the state government and federal government, and even our local governments, mayors, policemen, fire chiefs, judges, county officials, borough officials, pastors, leaders of education, we commit all of these that lead us to make their feet like hinds' feet, to set them on the high places with you. You do that in a marvelous way, and we ask you to train them, Lord, to come to you often, and they would see the mighty strength that you are, the shield you are, the true rock that you are for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in your name for doing that.
Now I'd like us to come back to praying for some specific Stonecroft requests. And as most of you know, we are investing in have started our hubs all across this nation, and I'll just take a minute and tell you about that. So as we pray, we understand our divisional field directors are engaging women who are introduced to them, or maybe even women they know already, to lead the hubs. And these hubs are city-based, and they are a gathering of women who are coming together for inspiration, encouragement, maybe even some discipleship, and certainly training on how to share the gospel. And this hub is also a centerpiece in that city for asking the question, how can we communicate the gospel well? And ultimately from these Stonecroft hubs would be a myriad of outreaches that are meeting women right where they are and right as they are. And so we have about 12 or 13 of these hubs established across the nation, and by the end of the year, we'll have 30 hubs. And so I would like us to pray, and maybe you want to pray for your city if you think that this would be something good for your city, that the Lord would raise up the leaders and that he would go before these field directors as they are working very hard on this. We have a wonderful field directors, and I'm going to say their names to you. So if you feel called to pray for one by name, that would be fine too. So in the Northeast, we have Anne. In the Southeast, we have Emma. In the Upper Midwest, we have Sarah. In the Midwest, we have Susie. In the Mountain State, we have Michelle. And on the West Coast, we have Rachel. So there are six of these women, and they're all on staff, and they're doing this wonderful work of starting these hubs. And many Stonecraft volunteers are coming alongside and being part of this, too. So let's just spend a few minutes praying about the hubs and as they get started and the new ones that are yet to be to begin.
Father God, how much I adore Michelle, our field director here in Colorado. Lord, I pray you would empower her. You would give her great wisdom. You would show her where to go, who to meet, that you would bring people into her path. I pray that the hubs expand, Lord. It's so exciting to hear that they're actually in place, and we may have 30 by the end of the year. Lord, thank you for blessing this.
I love how you multiply our time, and we do ask that all six of these divisional field directors, you would let your work appear to them in such a way they would know exactly how to do it. Give them favor in front of your all the people that they're a part of. And we thank you for that Psalm 90 that says, confirm the work of our hands, O Lord, confirm the work of our hands. And we just agree with that, if you would do that for them, as well as all of these other volunteers. And I would ask that Alaska would have a couple of hubs. We need this right now. And thank you, Father, for raising up the women that you have given us, the 20s and 30-year-olds, to carry on. We've got 20 for sure, and we're so excited for those 20. Now, Father, in your great wisdom, you called them, as you do so well with all of us on the phone. You've called us. And, Father, we ask you to call those younger women, the 20s and 30s and 40-year-olds, into this wonderful ministry. Thank you for your goodness upon us and your mercy upon doing that.
And Father God, as I heard Cheryl mention the word hub, I just got a funny insight. And I thought, hub, heaven unbound. And it reminded me of scripture where it says, whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever loosened on earth will be loosened in heaven. So I pray, Father, that these hubs will become heaven unbound on earth, where each of the people that come there will come to a great understanding of the love of Jesus Christ and how he works in our lives and how he yearns for relationship with each and every one of those women who come to those meetings. Mm-hmm. And Father, I think of a young girl that I saw today who wanted to know, how can you tell when you're in God's will? How do you know? And I was sharing with her that God's will is to bring his kingdom on earth. And I'm thinking of heaven unbound in these hubs, his kingdom on earth. That if we seek first the kingdom of God, then all of these other things will be given to us. And that if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, all our strength, then we will be within his will and there will be no question. And so simple. So, Father, I pray heaven unbound in these hubs. In Jesus' name.
We also want to lift up our friends and our family who are who need to be in relationship with God. They need the Lord, and without Him, they're destined to an eternity of complete emptiness. And we also have loved ones in our life who know the Lord, but they are not sold out, as we like to say sometimes. And so let's lift these names before the Lord. And if you want to pray for them, you know, using scripture, or just pray for them, or you just want to say their name, either way, but let's lift up our loved ones who are not in relationship with God right now.
Lord, I pray for our Jewish friends who don't recognize that they need anything more than what they have. They don't know that you're their Messiah who came to save them. And pray that you will just open their eyes, take the scales off of their eyes so they can actually see you.
Yes.
I think of my Jewish friend, Judy, Lord, who really needs you. I pray you would unplug her ears and take the scales mm-hmm. from her eyes and release her bondage, Lord, so that she would see you clearly and know that she is to receive you.
Father, I pray for Dane and for Alan and for JJ. Lord, you know their hearts. And I pray that you would soften their hearts toward you.
Dear Lord, I pray for Ross, that you will continue to have his angels whisper in his ear what he cannot hear from me. Thank you, God, for doing that for him.
Father, I pray for my entire family who do not know you.
Pray for our grandson, David, who has strayed so far from you, and thank you for the promise that you never let us go and that you are hanging on to him, even if he doesn't want it.
Yes, Lord, we just ask for you to have mercy on these ones that were mentioned and perhaps ones that were not mentioned. That you would encircle them with people who know you and that they could not escape their friendship. We pray that in the workplace and in the library and in the grocery store, everywhere they turn, they would run into a Christ follower and be amazed at your pursuing love. And we ask God to save them, you to save them. And we ask God for the many women who will attend a Women's Connection group, even next week, Lord. They might go to a, you know, Mother's Day luncheon or a springtime luncheon thinking it's going to be something fun and entertaining, but you have something so much greater for them. We pray for soft hearts, and as Vera prayed, that scales would be removed from their eyes and that they would see that today is the day for salvation. So, thank you, Lord. I also thought it would be good for us just to spend some time praising the Lord for who he is, and we often start with this at the beginning. I guess we're going to put this more toward the end. But the Lord is so good, and just in who he is, you know. So let's just tell him. Just tell him.
My heart is filled to overflowing for the love that you have shown me. The fact that you would send your only Son, Heavenly Father, to die on the cross, be raised from the dead, and invite us to become part of your family, and then gift us with the Holy Spirit to guide us. Oh, Father God, this is so overwhelming every time I think of it, to become part of the family of God and to recognize sisters and brothers in the faith because of the Spirit that you've put in us. You are the God who saves me, and all day long I put my hope in you.
Thank you that you are a good, good Father.
Yeah.
Father, you are awesome. You are beautiful. You are Creator. You are Redeemer. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are high and lifted up. You are holy, holy, holy. Father, we do not deserve relationship with you, and yet you desire relationship with us. We are humbled by that, Father, and we love you. Thank you, Father.
I would like to just ditto what everyone has prayed in the praise of our Lord and Savior and our God, our Creator, our Sovereign Lord Almighty. And also say thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for the assurance, the knowledge, and the assurance that we are guaranteed as your children with a seal that can never be broken, and that we have the knowledge of eternal life, and that those who go before us are already enjoying that great pleasure being in your presence. So thank you, Father, for who you are, for your purpose and your plans for our lives.
Lord, I thank you for the changes you've made in my grandson's life in the past almost a year now, Lord. He was so far from you, and the way that you protected him, kept him from being in legal trouble, jail, or anything like that, has given him, through a baby boy, just given him a different outlook on life and turning back to you. I know he still has a long way to go, and yet, Lord, I just thank you for protecting him and caring for him, and I pray for him and this baby boy that will soon be a year old, for the people that have come into his life to help him with this. And there are so many things in our lives day by day we just take for granted, and then we look back and we think how blessed we are. And I think this past weekend when my grandson and his family were in an area that was going to be flooded soon, and they made their way out safely. And when they were able to get back in yesterday afternoon, it had not gotten into the house. And I just praise you for that. And I pray that all of these things are going to just draw him closer to you to realize that your hands, your arms have been around him all of this time. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, I just praise you because you are the great shepherd, and you take care of your sheep, and you are with us. You are God Emmanuel, the God with us. And I thank you that you are the God of all comfort, and that we can count on you and we rely on you, Lord. And so we just thank you for that, Lord.
Father, I thank you for the blessing of being on this prayer call tonight. I thank you for Janice for nudging and prompting me. And I just find it to be very, very special. I thank you that there's many of us on here from far distances, but yet we're joined by you, Father, by your Son, and by the just the special love that you have given us. I thank you.
Well, thank you, everyone. I think Norma, I'm going to let your prayer be our closing prayer. And I would like to tell you all a few little things as we're going now. Some have asked, so I'm just going to give a few updates. Next month, June 1st, day of prayer call, we'll have Marcia Inman. She's a Stonecroft Regional Administrator in Texas. And she will be sharing a devotion. You won't want to miss that. It's a beautiful prayer. And then the following month is July, and that we're going to have Jan Mathers come and talk about the book, the Stonecroft Bible Study on Ephesians. But it's actually going to be July 10th. So that's very different for us because usually we do it on the 1st or the 2nd, but because of the holiday and where it all lands and how it lands, we've asked her to share on July 10th. So we'll send that out in an email, but I think that's going to be very special as well. And then I always like to invite you, you know, many of you on this call, some of you have already shared a devotion, but many of you maybe have a devotion in your heart to share. And if I haven't asked you, I would like to know that. So if you don't mind letting me know, because oftentimes God gives you something that's supposed to be shared just not just for you, but for somebody else as well. So if you would just, it's not promoting yourself, it's just blessing me and helping me out to make sure we get you on this call. So please just let me know. I would appreciate that. And then if you'd like, I can stay after if you want to. If anyone has questions about the hub or anything, I'm happy to stay after a little bit. We've ended just a few minutes early. So if that's of interest to you, I'll stay on the line. But otherwise, I look forward to praying with you again next month, and I just want to thank you all for the way you serve this ministry and support this ministry. Your investment and your time has been well spent, and we do just trust the Lord to bring about his purposes, not only to the ministry, but bigger, to bring about his glory. And so just want to say thank you for that. And God bless you, and have a good evening. Yeah. If you want